Hi, this is Pam Raglan, and I want to welcome you to a unique series of calls called AskPamRaglan.com. This is a unique blend of my own intuition, my deep knowledge about human behavior, and the information and measures that I've been doing since 2003 that have led me to a lot of innovative discoveries about the law of attraction and personal development. What I'm doing with clients and individuals like yourself is I'm answering your questions about not just general stuff, but what's really in your way. What's the number one biggest, deepest thing that's in your way that may otherwise take you decades or your entire lifetime to identify, but I can uncover usually for people in just a matter of minutes, so that then you can have some choices about what you want to do moving forward in your life so you can get rid of what's actually in your way. And I'll give you various options on that, including the option of thought shifting, which is what I do for people to help you clear dramatic chunks of past baggage and negativity from your life, or even quantum thought shifting, which gets rid of the whole entire thing, and does a lot of other things too, like rebalancing your body and just a ton of other steps that helps with things like addictions, ADD, eating disorders, obsessive compulsive disorder, or what some people call OCD, and on and on and on. So I want to invite you to listen in on this series of calls, and I would love to hear from you if you'd like to ask your own question. You can go to www.askpamraglan.com. That's www, and the word ask, A-S-K, and then my name, Pam Ragland, PamRaglan.com. So listen in now as I start the call, and you can be like a fly on the wall listening to me working with people, and throughout this process you'll learn a lot more about what gets in our way and what you can do about it. Thanks for joining me.
So this is Pam Ragland. I'm glad I didn't use my desktop, but still turn the paint in. And this is my free AskPamRaglan.com call. Glad to have you. And this is a redo. Actually, I was had another one scheduled for next week. There's kind of a deviation in the schedule because of my vacation. So this call is going to replace the one that we would have done next week anyway, since I was sick last 2 weeks ago. Still recovering. So anyway, thank you for your patience. All right. I'm going to get, let me just kind of tell you how this call goes. The first thing I'm going to do is just introduce you to me in case you haven't heard my stuff or know anything about me. The thing that I talk about is why change is so hard, and my expertise is in helping you change more quickly and effortlessly. That's what I do, okay? And I've been doing that for a super long time, since 1984. And it's funny, I was just working with somebody who was looking at my PamRaglan.com website. She's like, oh my God, who is that photo on there? I'm like, yeah, that photo is before I was shifted, and people think that I was older in that photo than I am now. So anyway, that's tribute to the work. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just kind of tell you a little bit about what I've learned. Some of it you may have heard, some of it you may not have heard if you've heard anything about what I talk about. And then I'm going to go into answering your questions. And then I'll have a period of time where sometimes I get some guidance that I give out from what I call my pals or divine info that I give out to you. And then I'll do some depending. Sometimes something comes through. Most of the time it does. I have no idea what it's going to be. And then I will do some free healing at the end of the call. So stick around if you can. This call runs pretty close to about an hour and 20 minutes or so. I have a hard stop at the end because my kids come home from their dad. So I'm going to squeeze as many questions into this period of time as I can. And then I keep promising that I'm going to start answering some of these questions. We're setting up some different blogs kind of by topic where you can go and find your question also. So, you know, once I do that, then I'll be able to email out and see if they answer some of those questions. I never give out, like, your last name or anything like that, just to let you know, okay? So we try to email you individually if I can. My assistant will email you and let you know that I answered your question, just to kind of give you an idea if we can. We don't always get to that, but we try to do that in case you're not on the call or, you know, something like that. Okay, so let me go through. So first of all, I'm Pam Ragland, and my business is Aiming Higher. I got a little, my daughter's bunny fur in my nose. Sorry about that. That's helping with her bunnies. And as I said, my expertise is in helping people change quickly and effortlessly. So my kind of really quick story is that I've actually been helping people change since probably precedes 1984, but that's the first time I can kind of identify it. I did it as a business. I was in charge of quality for a big international healthcare company, and actually computer quality. And in doing that, I had to help people change to new processes and stuff like that. And frankly, it was kind of painful. And I started studying and saying, you know, what is it? There's a lot of people that learn about helping people change, and they focus on the strategy to use and the processes and stuff like that. And I stepped back and I said, I think the key is the people. And I just started focusing on helping people change. And you know what? As long as I'm, hang on, I'm going to do one more recording. Here we go. Since we have redundancy here. Okay, so just kind of focusing on helping people change. And what I found is that a lot of times that people would have resistance to change because of things like fears and things like that, and things that they weren't really aware of. So anyhow, I did that work, and then then I started transforming companies and working with big Fortune 100 companies, mostly Fortune 50, transforming the organization, helping a lot of people change, learning a lot about it, learning more and more and more about what makes people resistant to change, and really being pretty successful helping do turnarounds and helping people change, reducing what I call the fallout, the people who leave because they just can't do the change. And so then back in 2000, I decided to start my own business. I was tired of traveling and just needed to be home and stop paying for a house that I was never at. So I started this business, and I started as one of the first coaches. Back then, nobody had ever heard of coaching, so I already had an uphill battle. And I said, all right, I need to specialize or do a niche or whatever. I don't even know how I got that idea. But I said, what makes me unique? And what I realized is that what makes me unique is helping people change quickly and effortlessly. So I stumbled upon that. I started working with people, and I would literally hear a voice in their head that was like the negative voice in their head. So, for example, I always kind of like to tell the story that I was working with a client in Ireland, one of my first clients. I didn't even know how I got her back then. But she wanted to do films, and I was like, well, why aren't you doing films? Because they make a lot of films in Ireland. And she said, well, I need to get a stable job. And when she said that, I could literally hear her mom's voice in her head saying, get a stable job, get a stable job. So she perceived that working in these internet companies, which is where she was choosing to work, was a stable job. But the truth is she had been, because it was an office job, and so office jobs are stable, so she had that idea. But the truth is that she had been laid off 14 times. So the truth belied what was really going on. And that's a lot of times what we see with what I call negativity. We have these ideas that get in our way that we don't even know are in our way. So I'll tell you more about that in a minute. So I worked with her, and it took like 3 months to get rid of this idea in her head. And I was using, you know, the supposedly the latest and greatest affirmations, visualizations, all that kind of stuff, things that you supposedly can, you know, can do. And, you know, it does do work, but they take a really long time. So 3 months later, I was like, oh, my God, this feels painful. There has to be a better way. So I started focusing on finding a better way to help people. And I literally saw this vision of being able to go in people's head and just take all the negativity out. And I remember when I saw that vision, I just thought, oh, wow, this is a possibility. But I never had any idea that that would be what I do. And as it turns out, that is what I do. So that was my precursor. But then in between, I had this thing that I call my training wheel. It was this machine that you were supposed to hold, and it would get rid of your negative conditioning. So now I've already had this client where I've heard the stuff in her head, and she wasn't the only one. She's just the one that like, it always stands out to me because I could just literally hear her mom's voice in her head. And so I thought, this is great. I know now people have these negative thoughts in their head, and if they just hold this little machine thingy, they're going to be able to take it out. But the trouble is that most of my clients were remote. I wasn't working with hardly anybody at home. So I said, all right, how do I even, like I said, I look back at my 12 years ago, I don't even know how I got my first clients, but anyway, I did. And so I thought, okay, how do I help these people? And then somewhere along the line, and the people that I was helping in person, I was like, well, how do I know how much I'm helping them? And I heard, and I can only say it was through to divinely measure negativity. So I was like, okay. So I started measuring how much negativity people had. And now negativity are all those negative thoughts, like I said, that chatter. And it's literally the lies we tell ourselves. We don't even know we're telling ourselves, and we don't even know that they're lies. Because we're so used to hearing it, just like my client was. She just thought, oh, you get a stable job is an office job. We're so used to hearing it that we don't even recognize the beast for what it is. So what happened was I started measuring. And then I was shocked because I found in the average adult that 97.4% of all your thoughts are in your way. And of that, 96.4% or almost all of it is hidden in the subconscious. You don't even know it's there. So I tell people, you know, if your spouse, your significant other, your friend, whatever, says, oh, you always do blah, 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 and you think you don't, maybe you do. Because so much of our behavior is automatic, and it's hidden to us, and we don't even know we're doing it. You know, if it's just neutral, like brushing your teeth or brushing your hair, it's no big deal. But, and if it's positive, of course, then we want to have that. But if it's negative, it's something that's getting in our way, it's limiting who we can be, then we definitely don't want to have that there. And the thing is, thoughts that are in our head create our life. So once your subconscious gets a hold of an idea, that's what it uses to create your life. So if the wrong stuff goes in, all the wrong stuff starts coming out. That's what happens. And then I kept measuring. And what I found is by the time that kids are 5 years old, you have 61% of your lifetime thoughts, and more than a third of them are already negative. And I was like, wow. And by the way, then I started measuring the number. And that number of total negative thoughts averages out to 3.5 million. So by the, and these are clusters of thoughts too, just not to get too complicated, but there's groupings of thoughts. So by the time kids are five, they already have more than a million of those things. So the bottom line is, we go through all these efforts to try to get rid of negative stuff that's in our way, to try to identify it, but the truth is, only about 1% of it is even available to you to identify, because the rest of it is hidden in your subconscious. And of that 1% that's available to you, a lot of it, the origin of it, the root cause of it, came in so early that you can never really get to the real thought of it. It's more of what I call the idea of a thought than the thought. The way things work is that you have, imagine this chain, okay? You have your negative thought, you have your emotion, and they get, and that's what we feel when we feel that, like that feeling and all that. They get connected together by a thing called a neural pathway. So if you're on the video, you can see this. There's like a little ring that's a neural pathway. And that makes it automatic. Once it's automatic, we never think about it again. And you know, this is really good if we want to learn something and not have to learn it again. It's designed to help us effortlessly create our life. But the problem is when you have a lot of negative stuff going in there, then we start automatically creating our life in a direction that doesn't serve us. So once I started doing all these measurements, I was like, oh, my gosh, no wonder it's so hard for people to change. No wonder it took my clients 3 months when we focus on that thing. No wonder it's so much work when we work one by one by one, because these associations have to start growing on themselves once they're in your subconscious. And when I say associations, let me explain that for a second. We learn by association, so we connect one thing to another. So the thought and the emotion is an association. The vision, what you see about it, is another association. So we see behind me, like today, let me pick this on the left, there's a door. And so at some point in time when you're a kid, you learn it's called a door. And then you may learn it's called a raised panel door or a wooden door. There's different names for it. Or it's a light door, okay? So you learn all these things. And you learn them so that when you see it with your eyes, you can recognize it immediately. The thoughts go through your head, and you know what it is. That's how we learn, okay? If there's a smell associated with it, or a taste, or touch, we learn all that, okay? And those are called associations. That's how we learn everything. So the problem becomes, let's say that the first time that you encountered a door, you shut your finger in it. Now you have a negative association around the door. And this is the way all negative associations are formed. We get exposed to it, and it's not a positive experience, or it's not positive information, and then that goes in. Now the problem is with kids, up until about the time you're five, all your thoughts are like under hypnosis, so you're literally taking everything in. So, you know, my daughter just turned 11 and my son's 9, he's going to be 10 in September. And I never used to have an opinion about TV, but I definitely do now. Because up until the time kids are 5, literally they are taking everything in. There is no filter. You are their only filter. So if they're watching a bunch of stuff or they're exposed to people that they shouldn't be or words that they shouldn't be, that's all going in. And I've literally seen kids as young as 2.5. Creating a negative pattern in their life already. Okay, so this is what happens. That's why it's there. That's why the reason there's so much of it is just because our parents had it. They were acting on autopilot negativity. They passed it on to us and so forth, and that's been happening for generations now. So that's why there's so much. And the reason it's so hard to help you change your traditional methods is we're trying to do it one by one. It's almost impossible, unless someone's very intuitive, to identify that information that came in early on, because up until about the age of 3, you have what's called the idea of a thought and a thought. Okay? So sometimes you might struggle with something, and you have this bad feeling that you can't put your finger on it, right? And that's an activity that came in very early before you had language. And I know, you know, we say words and things like that up until, you know, before the age of 3. But 3 is about the time when it kicks in, when you have full language, when you really understand what you're saying, when you can put it all together in sentences and things like that, okay? So that's why things that come in earlier than that, a lot of times, are very elusive. So you're going to see as I answer people's questions tonight, first of all, I'm going to let you know that, you know, as I answer your questions, if there's something that I have that can help you, then, and I'll tell you about, like, my different processes and things like that. There's different ways I can help people. But I'm going to let you know about it so that you can then take advantage of it if that's something that you want to do. Now, so what happened was I was still working with this machine thingy. Let me go back. And thinking that I was erasing people's negativity with that. It was supposed to remove those thoughts one by one. And then, but I had all these clients that I was working with remotely. So I went to the originator of it and said, hey, I've got this thing. And he said, well, you know, over in Europe, when they create these devices, they work with people with blood samples. I was like, oh, blood samples. So now I started asking my clients, send me a blood sample. And I remember one of my clients, this had its limitations, because one of my clients had actually cut her legs with a razor. She was all excited, going, oh, I have blood now for you, because she was squeamish about blood. So, and then I had to manage to keep track of all the blood samples, and then I had to put it in a little input tray, and then I could only work with like 30 people at a time. So somewhere along the line, I had my own negativity that where I was having a hard time raising my prices on that machine to what everybody else was charging, yet my clients that I was just coaching that weren't getting any of this negativity removal, I was actually charging more. So it wasn't about me being okay being paid, and I had always made good money. It had to do, and I remember the day I got to the bottom of it, I thought, when I get to the bottom of this, it's going to be big. And I realized that it was so effortless for me. At the time, I was measuring a lot of stuff, and I knew that it took me 5 minutes to get rid of something that was taking other people 3 years with that machine. And it was so effortless for me, I thought, why do people want to pay me when there's not a lot of effort? And I realized that even though on all my letterhead I decided that, you know, what makes me unique is helping people change quickly and effortlessly, I had that on all my letterhead, and I was doing it, but I felt guilty for doing it. So that was negativity. And as soon as I got rid of that idea, literally that night, divinely in my journal, I received this recipe for how to remove it all. And that's a process I call quantum thought shifting. So to give you an idea of the significance of that, I've measured a lot of other systems out there. First of all, a lot of systems like coaching and therapy and stuff like that, they're not actually removing anything. They're just helping you identify it. But unless you get rid of it, it's actually physically stored in your body and it's still there. So let me just say that. Then there's other systems that are starting to come on the scene, like the release method, EFT, which is also called tapping and things like that. And they're starting to remove things, and that's all great, except for they're doing it one by one. And remember, there's 3 million of those puppies. Okay, 3.5 million on average, actually. And so there's some limitations in that because you can't really get to all of that. In fact, if you work on 100 things a day, it takes 26 years to overwrite all that in your, 26 days, not 26 years, to overwrite all that in your subconscious. That would take you 2,136 days to get rid of all that. Basically, you'll never do it. Okay. And so then when I started doing all these numbers, I was like, wow, no wonder change is so hard. So I got rid of the negativity, and literally that night in my journal, I got this recipe, quantum thought shifting, to erase it all. And when I've gone back and measured systems where people are removing things sort of one by one, what I found is that they're removing an average of about 1% of negativity over about 30 years. And I'm able to, with the quantum thought shifting process, remove all of it in 11 days. Okay? So let me tell you about that. And then so I started doing that process, but then I found that was too much change for people. It's really a lot of change. So I stepped back and I broke it into pieces. And now I have level 1, level 2, level 3, and level 4. Level 4 still removes it all. It's quantum thought shifting. But level 1 removes an average of 11% of your negativity at once. Level 2 does 27% in a particular area that you're choosing to focus in. Level 3 does another about 15%. But by that time, you've got so much gone that now the change kind of slows down a little bit, but it really doesn't, because the more change, the more stuff that's gone, the more powerful your thoughts become. And then level four does all of it. It increases your, what's called your vibration, your vibe dramatically, like nothing else that's out there, your consciousness. These are all things I measure. Helps you be way more on purpose. I know all this because I've measured it, okay? And puts you back into balance. And the level four process, what I found is that because it's a recipe, I'm not just removing negativity and doing all kinds of stuff. It's putting people back in balance. It's helping get, I've had people whose addictions have gone away. I can actually also remove drug withdrawal. That's another thing that I do. I found out by accident I was helping someone with autism. So there's all this stuff that happens just by us being back to how we're meant to be. And then I step it along the way. So the way that it works is I actually do it all remotely. So let's say that thought shifting is for you. I do it remotely. There's a program that goes around it because there's so much change that happens and your thoughts become so much more powerful. You need to transition into that. So every level has a program. And I'm moving that to home study. So right now I'm doing my last live level one program starting next week and level two starting next week also. And then after that, I'll be moving it to a home study, and that's the only way you'll be able to get level one and level two. That just means that you get all the same education and things like that, but you won't have me helping to support you, at least not in the way that I've done it in the past. And that's just so that I can move on to other things. So I've got it sort of down to a science now. So the remote healing will still happen behind the scenes. Basically, you do an assessment, and once your assessment is done, then the shifting takes place for you. That's how it works. So that will happen, whether it's live or whether it's in the home study. So that's what I do with the thought shifting. I'm just basically making the change effortless, helping you change quickly and effortlessly. That's what I'm doing. And so that's my expertise. And as I've been doing this since 2003, I've learned a lot of stuff about what I'm really doing, about how I'm really helping people and that sort of thing. So that's what I do. That's what makes me unique. If you want to change slowly, I am not your person. I'm about helping you change quickly, but also helping you adjust to that as quick as possible, because I don't really believe in people who call things like a healing crisis and stuff like that. I don't really believe in that. I don't believe that we need to go through a crisis. I just believe that we need to choose to change. And then that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. We just need to choose to change, and then I can help you move forward. Okay? That's what I do. So with that, I am going to go into the questions for today. Kind of giving you my spiel, so when I'm recommending things to you, you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay, now forgive me because I put my video camera over the part of my computer where I can see the question. Okay. It takes Someone said they didn't get the email. I don't know where that would be. Okay, let's see. Okay. And then like I said, if I don't answer your question today, then I may answer it in a different way also. I'm going to try to answer as many as I can. Okay, I'm going to start with someone. I like we have a lot of the same. Oh, another thing that I have that's coming, well, I'll just tell you as I go along. I have a money club that I'm starting to do. And the idea behind the money club is to help unite people who really are ready to create a shift in their money. So I'm going to put it on the line and say that I was given this vision of basically the dark side, if you will, like the it's like the force of evil, I guess is the way you want to put it. I don't know, I hate to call it that dramatic about it, but basically the resisting force on the planet has been controlling the money for quite a long time. And it's trying to shift. So money is power. Power is money. It's trying to shift. But the problem is that it has nowhere to shift to, because all the people who are kind of more on the light side are not prepared to take it. So the Money Club is an attempt to organize all those people together so we can use our collective thought to help everybody attract more money. And some of you know I have like free money videos and things like that, but this kind of takes us to the next step. So I'll be rolling that out when I can. Let's see. Okay. Oh, how can I let you know here? Okay. So if you're on the chat and you ask a question, just let me know the name that you answered, that you asked it under when you log into my website so that I can look for a match to your question. And I will take a look and see if I can find you. Usually when I do these calls, I get about 500 questions that come through in a day or two. So I try to pick through and pick the ones that, you know, just kind of stand out to me. That's the only way I can put it. Okay. All right. I still look kind of pink on this video, huh? Sorry about that. I don't know if I can hear anything about that. Let me see. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy. I always change these settings on this video camera. It changes them back before I get into here again. Okay. Forget it. Let's leave it where it is. Okay, whatever. That's where it is. Okay. Oh, you said this might be email. Oh, cool. Okay. All right, but I still don't know that I didn't put your name in there. So if you just want to tell me the name that you don't have to tell me your email, just in the chat, just tell me the name that you signed up under, and I'll look for you because the way that it sorts in my name is my name. Okay, and then I will look for your. I don't think I. Okay, let me put it to you this way. If I had your name, okay, one of those two, then that will help. Okay, so I will look for that. I'm going to start with someone named Carolyn, and Carolyn is, let me open up a document here because I try to keep track of this so I can pay attention to whose questions I'm answering. Okay, so this is, today is the 10th. The timing's always perfect. It's funny, when I was sick, I was like, I hate always sleep on a call, but I always know that somehow timing's perfect and you never really know why. So I just go with the flow. Okay. So I'm going to start with Carolyn. And Carolyn is from Salt Lake City. Okay. And Carolyn's saying finances. And having my husband be a part of the equation over which I have no control. I have a client like that. Okay. So first of all, on money, I'm going to give you a couple resources in case you haven't seen those. The first one is my free money course that I have. It's at 5, the number 5, Money Secrets, the numeral 5, Money Secrets. SECRETS, secrets.com. Okay. It's my free video course. If you're interested in money, I also suggest that you take a look at the Money Club. I think that's what I'm going to call it. The Money Club, when I get that going, which will be soon. Okay. Now let's take a look at the what's involved with this. There is. Okay, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing something that came in like about age 3. Has to do with your mom. And has to do with your mom wanting to work but unable. And I'm really seeing your mom being sort of like a housewife kind of person. And like she had her own dreams and aspirations, but her role was to be supportive. Okay. And so she fulfilled her role, but she felt unfulfilled. Oh, good. Oh, Carolyn's on the thing, too. Okay. Okay, so Carolyn. Okay, good. So you've done many secrets. There's also, I also have a book that kind of supports, there's a CD, there's my money CD, if you don't have that, not very much, like $30 I think. And then there's a book too that I'll be putting out. The book has always been there. I didn't like the cover, so I had it redesigned. But anyway, there is a book too. I'll be sending an email about that as soon as the cover gets done. The book is like a home study, so it walks you through using this CD so that you can try to help attract money to yourself. You might also like to try out the money club when I do that, because it's going to all be at the same price. Okay, but here's what I'm getting for you, Carolyn. I'm getting the age 3. Your mom was wanting to work with you. I'm seeing her be like a housewife. She's got her dreams, her aspirations. She fulfilled her role, but she felt unfulfilled. She really felt that she had no control over her life. Okay, so what I'm getting is that you saw that as a model. So now let me go back to the way that negativity is formed, okay? So there's three ways that it happens. Either we hear somebody say something to us directly, or we model the behavior that we see, which is what I'm getting happened in your case. You saw it, you thought, oh, this is how it's done. And we learned from our parents. And so you thought, oh, this is how it's done. And how it's done is that I'm supposed to, like, take a back seat and be kind of unfulfilled and not be the person that has power over my life and basically give up my power. And really, those go to giving up your power to men, okay? Which is where your husband comes in. I'll get to the other comments also in a second. So you give up your power to men, and what happens is then you feel very unfulfilled. Okay, so this goes to you feeling that you have no control over your husband because that's how your mom felt, and she basically taught you this is how it's done, and now you're doing it, and that is, in fact, negativity. Okay, so now let me look at negativity. Let's see how much this is. So you're at 98.2% of negativity. This issue, it's a little bit of average, not much. This issue is 41%, okay? So you would be helped greatly by the thought shifting. If you can do it, I'm doing, like I said, I'm doing my last live group starting next week, and after that it will be a home study. And then occasionally I'll work with people privately that want to go all the way from level 1 to level 4. Okay. It's more of a partnership, or what I clear only works for you. Okay. Yeah. That's because, all right, so let me try to explain this. The people that are in your life are a reflection of you. So what they're doing is they're here to teach you something about you. And I know sometimes that can be really hard. Trust me, we all have our, you know, people that are big challenges, right? And they're here to teach us something. So what's happening is your husband, you know, I thought that you did the thought shifting, the part one. Okay, so you might be ready for part two. What's happening is your husband is a reflection of you. And so in doing, and you know, let me explain to you about how the thought shifting works. So it's an average. So some people take on more and take on less. And once you've been shifted, what happens is it's kind of sitting there waiting for you. So sometimes you can just be in a place where you say, okay, I'm ready to allow myself to step into that. Let me put it to you this way. It's kind of like putting a gift on the table. And some people are going to dig into the gift and tear off all the paper and everything like that. And other people are going to sort of peek up at the corner, okay? And I'm getting that there was some concern about how this might affect your life, and you kind of like peek up at the corner. But the first thing I would say to you to do is to sit and just be willing to accept everything that's already been given to you, and then see what happens with that. And then based on this issue being so much of the negativity, you might be ready for a next level of the level 2 of the thought shifting, which is a much higher amount of shifting. It's, you know, 27% on average. But I would start with really sitting and accepting what's already been given to you, because the you may experience a shift just like that. What will happen is people will come to me and they'll say, did you do something like in 6 months? I'm like, no, I didn't do anything. You did something. You just allowed it to come in. So start with that, and just so really get that the fear around it is how much things may change, especially when it comes to your husband, okay, or the man, the partner person. part. And now the other thing I want to say about that is just to also remember that you're not the victim. So in level one, I teach about taking responsibility. Well, you know, the level one has changed because originally whenever I did level one, it was only supposed to be temporary. It wasn't supposed to be permanent. And now I found that it is permanent. So I've had to change some of the education, how I do it. So you may or may not have heard this in level one. But basically, I teach you about taking responsibility and what part is yours and what part is not. When you feel powerless, you're in a place where you're not taking responsibility. So what you want to do is you want to go back to the place where you are in your power. And part of how you're in your power is to recognize that on some level, you attracted this husband and this partner guy into your life to teach you something. And what he's trying to teach you is that you're giving away your power to him and you can choose to take it back. So I hope that makes sense. And then I'd be happy to support you if you want to go on to further. Or you can also contact me and my assistant can kind of go through options with you. But that's what I'm getting. And there's quite a lot of negativity wrapped around this issue. So typically at level one, you're getting like a foundation that helps you start to be prepared to change. Sometimes that propels you into more change because yourself is like, oh, yay, wahoo, she's starting to change, so I want to do more stuff. And other things start to really come up and sort of bubble to the top that are like big issues is the way that I want to put it. Okay? So I hope that makes sense. Okay. Let me see. And I'm going to look for Lizzie's. Okay, Sherry. Okay, the thought shifting. Just to let you know, you do all the work remotely, so you can sit in Texas. I have a group starting next week, and it's a live group. But then after that, I'll be going home studying. So if you would like to participate in it, you don't have to move back here. In fact, even if you were here in California, I still do it on remotely anyway. I don't actually work with anybody in person anymore unless it's like a VIP or celebrity kind of person and they insist on it. But pretty much that's it. So you're welcome to take a look at that. I'll send the link out. Okay, good. So Jackie says it helps. Okay, very good. And then Carolyn. Yeah, very good. Okay. Yeah, so anyway, you're welcome to take a look at that just so that you know you don't have to wait. All right, let's see. And it's hot today, so I can only imagine how hot it is in Texas. Let's see. And then let me look for... this question here. Let's see. And that, you know, and Bessie, Carolyn, I had a sense that you had done something with level one but hadn't maybe necessarily capitalized on it. And my sense is that's actually part of what needs to shift for you with level two. Okay, let's see. Just to let you know. Looking for yours here. See if I can find it. Because in a couple of financial. What's the mini ones? Okay. Money, money, money. That's good. I'm so excited about this money club thing. It's really cool. I'm not finding yours. Lizzie, I'm not finding yours. Let's see. So, I'm not sure what was been asked. I'm going to pick another question and I'll keep looking for yours. Okay. These I can't understand. Let's see here. Let me pick. Okay, I'm going to take this one, Terry. And Terry's question is procrastination. I'll keep looking for yours, Lizzie. Let's see. Okay, do you ever have people talk on the phone or only chat? Let's see. Yes, I do have people talk on the phone. Actually, if you're on the phone and I can find your question, I do have people talk on the phone. So I ask for your phone number so that if you're on, I can identify you because I have a system where I can tell who's called in. But if I'm finding you on the chat, I usually don't look in both places because most people don't call in both places. Okay, so this is Terry. And Terry is from Pennsylvania. Okay, so I think there's more than one Terry. Looks like on the call, so just to let you know, that's the next question. Terry says, my biggest obstacle is procrastination, the ability to take action. Okay. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to say about this is I'm tuning in, Terry, definitely negativity. I'm seeing you as a little kid getting in trouble, starting at age 2. Now, let me explain something. It's not that necessarily as soon as you hit age 2 you start getting in trouble. What usually happens is you start coming into awareness of certain things. So about the age of 2 you started to become aware. I'm seeing it's like a very controlling dad. Or there's a male figure like standing over you. And that male figure is very controlling. And what would happen is when you would try to do something, you get in trouble. Okay. The person was, I don't want to say a perfectionist, they were past that. They were more like very demanding. Okay, the perfectionist is sometimes conditioned to like do things perfectly. This male figure that I'm seeing in your life is literally like towering over you, like micromanaging everything you do, very controlling. I see kids that broke into adults who are afraid to take action and procrastinate because maybe on the other side, the parents meant well, but they did everything for them and didn't allow them to do things for themselves, and they never got the idea they could do it themselves. But in your case, I'm seeing this is different. This is someone who's very controlling, a man who's very controlling. He's a dad or he's a dad figure. Feels like probably like a dad, but he's very controlling and really just like used you as a source of control. So you never really got the idea that you could do things and you didn't get to venture out and try things because he was always like controlling you. And started when you became aware of it, started to become aware of it when you were 2, but this just like continued on really through your childhood. He was always there for your whole childhood. Okay, so what's happened is as a result now, you are basically afraid to take action because you're afraid that you might do it wrong. And it's really not do it wrong. It's that you have a fear that bad things will happen. It's almost like a very visceral reaction. I'm sure when we look at the negativity, we're going to find a lot that has to do with this one. So let's see. 98.9 negativity, so that's actually quite a bit above average, but again, when the average is so high, it's, and we have 54% in this issue. So what I want to say is that, you know, definitely I would start with the level one thought shifting. I forgot to tell you. It's pamraglin.com/level1, L-E-V-E-L, and then the number one. /LEVEL number one. Okay, so definitely start with that, but you're probably going to have to keep getting, you know, just to set your expectation. What the thought shifting does is it's progressive until you get to level 4. So when you've got an issue that is so wrapped up, like Carolyn, yours was 41%, Terry, you've got 54% in this one issue, what happens is it gets all these fingers and toes all over into everything. The way we learn, because of association, things just keep snowballing and snowballing and snowballing. So very often, it's like level 1 will take the edge off, but you need more shifting the more is wrapped up into the issue, and I'm thinking you're probably going to need to go to level 4 ultimately. You can do it. The nice thing is about it in pieces, unless you can do it in pieces. But I would say, you know, ultimately, to really feel free, you're going to want to go to level 4. And Carolyn, probably the same for you as well. So just to let you know. So I hope that that helps. And that's where that comes from. And, you know, sometimes just being aware of where something comes from and having that insight can be hugely freeing, because all of a sudden you can go, oh, wait a minute, you know, this isn't about me, this is about this thing. But remember that this negativity, because it's physically stored within our body, it is this reaction that happens that we don't really have control over, because it's stored in our body and it just comes up automatically. And so, you know, we'll beat ourselves up afterwards and say, oh, there I go again. But you can't, really, you truly can't help it, because it is physically stored in your body and you have to get it out in order to be free of it. And that's why, I mean, technically what I do is healing, because I'm helping take it out. I have this gift that I can help you, because it's in your body. I'm not touching you, so I'm helping you take it out. So therefore, and that's what it is. I hope that helps. Okay, cool. All right. Okay. So let's see. Let me try to find another one here. Okay. Funny, I have a Karen in the window, Karen, asking me how to deal with lack of motivation, and I just opened up another one that's Karen that says, I can't get motivated. Oh my goodness, that's a different email, I think. So I'm going to try to answer them both. Let me see what I can do here. Okay, so let's see. Usually I take the questions, Karen, in the window, just to let you know, to ask PamRaglin.com. So we can reply back to you and make sure you have the answer. Okay. And all the associated details that go along with it. So let's see. This Karen is from Drexel Hill. That's funny that two questions for the same person. Okay. So you can't get motivated even though Tony's motivated about. I'm tuning into this one. And let's see, I'm still looking for your question, but hopefully we can find it in there. You know, if you want, run over into the window, the AskPamRaglin.com window, and just ask it again, too, and that should pop up for me. Okay. Karen. Here's what I'm feeling. This is, my first tune in with this was that this is a fear. The fear of making a mistake, but it's very specific, has to do with shifting. Okay, I'm using the word shifting, which is interesting because that's what I do. But this is what I'm tuning in. I'm seeing that what you want to do work that helps shift the planet. You have a very specific fear around the changes on the planet and making a mistake. Okay, now, this is old energy. So this is what I call kind of soul debris. Sometimes, you know, we have generations of things that we carry with us that we bring in, and this is something like that, okay? So it's what I call soul debris. This does not originate from anything that happened here, okay? It's something that you came in with. But what happens is, the earlier the negativity came in, it starts because your subconscious attracts more of whatever is in there. So it says, oh, you've got this idea in there. You must want to create more than that. So you have this idea that it's really, really something bad is going to happen if the planet shifts. I'm going to put it that way. Something bad will happen. You've got this idea. Let me find more information for you that corroborates that, okay? So this is actually something that you brought in with you. I deal with this between level one and level two, okay? So level one is kind of like the foundation to change. Level two is you're focusing on something specific. I do individual shifting that has to do with the soul, the pre-stuff, the old stuff that comes in, more starting at level two. And level four, I erase all of it. So you're probably going to need to go to level two. So it's Pam, let me tell you about the negativity in a second, PamRagland.com/level1. This is very, very old energy, okay? What I want to say is it's been around you for a very long time. So it's probably something that when you look back, you've always kind of had this change is bad, something bad may happen, I really want to do something good over here, but I'm really concerned about it over here. And, you know, that, okay, that's kind of what I'm getting, okay? And let me see. Negativity, 97.7 total, and of it, this issue, is 62%, so very high, so eventually you're probably going to want to go to level 4 too. Okay, but you're definitely going to be helped starting, you're going to need to probably be level 1 and level 2. Because this energy is old, so it's like a snowball. What happens is when you come in with the energy, you just start attracting more stuff right away, and the longer you know that you're here on this planet, the more that snowball just kind of goes downhill and attracts more and more and more stuff. So that's where this earlier energy, you know, especially the earlier like childhood things and then things we come in with, tends to be so profound because it just picks up steam over time. Okay, I hope that helps. Okay. Okay, so Karin, do me, I'm going to do yours, but do me a favor and go to my AskPamRagland.com and just put a little question in there if you haven't already so that I can make sure that my assistant, Dawn, gets back to you. Okay, so you also have a lack of motivation. Now, this will be interesting to see how this relates. I'm opening to here. Okay. Okay. Oh, shoot. Hold on. It just logged me out of the chat. Yeah. Okay. Let me get pretend. What is my password? I have no idea. There we go. Oh, hold on. Good grief. I don't know what my password is. Oh, I think I got it. Oh, look at all the people coming in now. Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's okay. I didn't realize that I had to log in. I'm already logged into the other thing. Good grief. There we go. Okay. That's for the questions. Okay. But I'm going to go ahead and do with yours. All right. Olivia, I'm still looking for you, too. Okay. Okay, this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling like you've lost interest in what's up. You're longing for something higher. Higher. Yet there's a fear of letting go of the past. So this is what it feels like. I feel this foundation that you've built that it feels like, okay, I'm ready to sort of move past that, but oh my gosh, what happens if I move past that because I have this foundation over here and I need this foundation over here. This is what it feels like. I'm going to get to the underlying negativity in a second, but I want to tell you a story. So one of the clients I worked with early on is Jack Canfield. He's done the Chicken Soup and Soul books and things like that. And what's interesting is we, without divulging confidences, he was in a very similar situation because he has all of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, so there are a certain specific audience, and yet he has continued learning and growing, and in his continued learning and growing, he wanted to move into other areas and do work that was maybe more advanced than the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and that came up his Success Principles work and a lot of the work that he's doing right now. So the moral to the story is that you can keep all the Chicken Soup for the Soul books still exist, and you can keep all the foundation of that work, but those of us who are here to help, we are by nature continuing to learn and grow and evolve. If we stop learning and growing and evolving, all those people who are following us hit that brick wall of wherever we stopped, and we're doing them a disservice. So we are really obligated to keep learning and growing. And so the task is, and the challenge is, to be able to take all this stuff that we've already created and to know that it's good, and find ways to be okay with the fact that it's serving a particular audience, and move into another area that's more exciting for us, and that continues to help us evolve. And in fact, that's really our responsibility, because it allows those people who are following us to then continue down that path and continue learning and evolving. Okay, so that's what I'm getting. I'm getting it's really bad. It's the fear of letting go of the past. It's very similar to Jack. Now, but let's look at that. Okay, so I'm picking up age 3, has to do with your mom. And your mom did a lot of teaching you about responsibility. So you have grown up being very responsible, okay? And there's this teaching us that there's this idea that somehow it's not responsible, or it's like abandoning people. That you're letting them down. Okay. So that's something that needs to be shifted. This is negativity. Okay, as you're getting a smiley face. Does this mean I'm on the right track? Okay. I know you've really done a lot of work with me. So you're 96.9% in negativity. Okay, I know you've done a lot of work. Just let me know where you are. This particular issue. It's 37%. So you would really be well served by a level 1. I would really recommend that for you. So it's pamraglin.com/level1 if you want to check that out. And again, I'm doing my last live. When I say live, meaning it's remote, it's by just like we're doing right now, by live video, by live audio, but it's not like in person. I just don't do it that way. I'm going to say maybe I'll do it that way. This has worked for me because I have my kids and have been single this whole time and trying to balance all that. Okay, so I hope that helps. That's what I'm getting. And that getting rid of that negativity would really serve you so that you can kind of move forward, because I can really feel that you're in a place where, like, your energy really wants to go over here to this other direction, but you're just, like, tethered to something that is holding you and everybody else that's trying to follow you back. Okay, cool. Let me see, Lizzie, if I could find your, so funny we have the same. Now, you can also see that the negativity is very individual, right? So there's two different people who happen to have almost the same name with the same challenge, but it came from two different sources, because we all are exposed to unique things on the planet. And that's one of the reasons I do this is, you know, it actually can be kind of fascinating to hear 10 different people whose challenges are financial or whatever, and they've got as many issues as there are people that are unique. And, you know, that's part of the challenge with this is it's really getting to that root, because when you get to the root, then you can get rid of all the things that are associated with it. And that's really what I'm doing with the thought shifting. It's going back to the origin of that thing, and then all those other things that have kind of come along with it that we can get rid of. Okay, let's see here. Let me find another one. Okay. I'm going to take this one because this person's name is Pam, and that's my name, so hey, I like that. Lizzie, I'm still, let's see, yeah, you put your question in, okay. Hey, Pam, Lizzie, will you go to this, my little app, pamraglin.com, and just put your question there. What happens is that way my assistant can email you the details of the call whenever I'll take it out of the chat, but if you could do that, that'd be great. Okay, let's see. Okay, so Pam in Texas. I'm telling you, it feels like 100 degrees in my office. I can't imagine how hot it is in Texas. So Pam in Texas says, I feel stuck. I cannot seem to move forward. What can I do to change that fearful attitude? I'm just too tired and I don't want to feel useless. Also, will there be a call tonight, Tuesday? Yes. So, yes, there is a call tonight. Okay, I already have it zone on this. Okay, so Pam, here's what I'm getting. H3 has to do with your dad. You can see, remember I said that 61% of your lifetime thoughts are there by the time you're 5. You can see that a lot of these things are, and I actually did that research because the psychological research says that you have like half of your thoughts by the time you're 5. I'm like, you know what, I think it's higher. Because when I would work with clients and get to the root of these issues, I would invariably find, you know, basically 0 to H3. You can see that they have, well, here we are again with an H3, okay? And that's because so much of the conditioning comes in. By the time you're 1 year old, you have 25% of all your lifetime thoughts already. And remember, we're just set up to learn. Like, I mean, look at all the incredible things that babies are learning in their first year. You know, you're learning to talk and walk and, you know, start recognizing, you know, voice and start to speak and eat and all this stuff. And so there's so much to take in and there's so much learning that's taking place that it can go awry, okay? So here we are at H3. Okay, so this is what I'm seeing. It says your dad. It has to do with your dad had an idea that he passed on to you. It has to do with a work ethic. I want to say something like work was his life. But it wasn't exactly that. It's like he didn't know what to do with himself unless he was working. And he basically passed on to you this idea that is similar. Like you don't know what to do with yourself when you're not working, okay? Which makes it very hard to relax and be retired. So that is definitely negativity. And a story comes to mind to share with you. I had a living nanny for 7 years. And I remember I was trying to explain to her the work I do. I'm not sure she ever exactly got it. But we had this discussion, and I was explaining about negativity. And I said, you know, the idea that you have to work hard to make money. And she said, well, what's hard with that? What's wrong with that? And I said, well, what's wrong with that? You've got a lot of people who are working really, really hard to try to make money, but they're not spending time with their family. You know, they're losing out on life. So this is kind of along that idea, okay? So you know that there's more to life. You want to be able to enjoy your retirement, but you've got this idea that basically not knowing what to do with yourself, that work is your life. Okay, so your negativity is actually 97.3, so it's a little bit below average. This particular issue is 34%, okay? So definitely level one will help you if you go to pamreglin.com/level1. And at that level, once you get in the 30s, you really start talking again, it's progressive, so level one, and then you can see, notice and then see how you feel about moving on to level two. By that time, level two is going to be home study because the next one I'm doing is definitely the last one that I'm doing. And, you know, unless I have some teachers that are at level four who are interested in training, they might do some live ones, but pretty much for me it's going to go to the home study. I will still be doing the shifting. The way the home study works is I'll still do the shifting and you'll still receive like, you know, recorded videos of me and audio and things like that. You just won't have me live on the call at that same time. For a lot of people, they're listening in on the recording anyway, so it's kind of the same thing. The only other difference is you don't get the live support. So, okay. Oh, Karen says this is wonderful pants for Canada. Thank you. That's really fun. Okay. All right. So, Pam, hopefully that helps you. And let's see. Okay, now let's see. Let me see if I've got your thing in there. How am I doing? I'm doing pretty well on time here. Yay. See if I can download some more. Okay, let's see. And my apologies, I have a lot of them in here from last time when I was sick, but okay. All right. Sherry, hey, I'm going to answer your question. Okay, so Sherry is in Austin. Some of my favorite people are in Austin. Okay, let's see here. Where should I start to help improve my life on this planet? Okay, so here's what I'm getting. I'm feeling that in your past, there's a lot of conditioning that's boxed you in. So I'm feeling you like in a box, and it has mainly to do with religious conditioning, I want to say. And yes, you became aware of it at age 3, but you had been in condition. Okay, so I was raised as what I want to call like a holy roller Christian person, and I don't know if it feels like that extreme, but kind of very similar in terms of the structure. And what I'm really getting is that you were taught a lot to fear a lot of things, okay? And it's really religious. Now, so I'm prompted to share my story with you. So I grew up as a holy roller Christian person, but I would never date a Catholic because Catholics worship idols and all these kind of things. And then, lo and behold, through a long series of events, I won't tell you the whole story, but I ended up dating someone who was becoming Catholic, became Catholic. And in that process, I realized how many misconceptions I had about the Catholic faith. And what that did for me was it made me stop and say, wait a minute, maybe, and I realized I had been prejudging things, and it made me just stop and say, what if this is possible? So I'm kind of getting it for you that being open to the idea that what if this is possible would go a long way for you. And just asking that question, that's kind of what I'm seeing. Because, again, that conditioning gets very, very ingrained. And I can tell you that, you know, a lot of what I'm doing now, had I not done that, I would not be doing it. And the people that I've been able to help, I would not have helped. Okay, so that's what I'm getting. But now let's look at those conditioning and see where you are with your negativity. Okay, so 97.9% is total, but this issue, and I want to call it like fear. It's a lot of fear. It's fear of trying, I don't want to say trying new things. It's fear of trying certain things. It's always kind of like they're looking in the background, like my client from Ireland that I told the story about. Okay, like that voice was always kind of there, her mom's voice lurking in the background. So this issue is 47% of the NPD. So you for sure would be helped by the level one, most likely at pamrogan.com/level1, LEVEL1, most likely level two at least, and you may need to go past that. You know, and I'm going to say, I'd be doing you a disservice if I didn't say that level four is the most transformational. But at the same time, not everybody's ready for that. So that's why I have the level one, level two, et cetera. Okay? But probably with that much, you'll ultimately want to go to level four. Okay, so I hope that helps give you an idea. So, you know, one of the things, like I said, I tell my clients a lot is just ask, what if this is possible? And I can tell you that is from the moment that I did that, and I just started allowing other ideas in, like all of a sudden it was this whole new world because I started learning so many things. Okay. Let's see. Let me see. What trainer time do I have here? Okay. Oh, there you are. Yay. Okay, let's see. Okay. Okay, so Lizzie is from Toronto. I have a lot of clients from Toronto. I don't know. All of a sudden, my last group started being way more international than the U.S. Okay. Maybe it's the exchange rate. I don't know. Okay, so Lizzie says, basically, I had an emotionally traumatic situation 10 years ago. And although I've meditated a lot and changed a lot, I still feel the negativity as a heavy hot stone that I carry with me all the time. And although the driving part of me tells me to do certain things, I constantly self-sabotage when I'm at driving. The divine part, okay. And I find that this negativity is so strong that some people feel it when I'm around. I don't know if I'm imagining it, but it seems to me that even you can feel it slightly now. Okay, well, that's good. Let me tell you how I work. I only tune in like when there's a reason. So if you're asking me a question, I'm answering your question, then yes, I'm going to be tuning in. But otherwise, I kind of keep my energy protected so I'm not just like willy-nilly tuning into everybody's energy. Okay. Especially because if you haven't asked me, then it's not really my business. Okay, let's see. Okay. You're from New York. Okay. Right, so let me first start with something. A traumatic situation from 10 years ago is a repeated pattern. And I know it doesn't feel like a repeated pattern, but it is. Okay. So remember, oh, I didn't put it in this part. By the time you're 18, you have 99% of your lifetime thoughts. And today's teenagers have 97.8% of them as negative. Okay, so this is one of the reasons we're seeing such an increase in things like the school shootings and stuff like that, because there's so much more negativity that's being put on our kids. All right, so very rarely is a circumstance that comes up originating at that period of time. It may not be showing up the same way as it showed up before, but it's typically showing up. Okay, so got negativity from that. Okay. So, well, yes, it's true that people may pick up on negativity. The biggest thing is that you know that you're carrying it with yourself. You know, it's an interesting thing about things like forgiveness, right? And actually, I'm going to direct you to a self-study that I have that is a caretaking self-study, but it also has a forgiveness thing in it that I don't really advertise. It's like this hidden bonus. And so it's pamraglan.com. We'll send you the link to this way. Stop caretaking now. And caretaking is caretaking now. Okay. So this has like a caretaking program that also has the forgiveness one in it. I really should separate that out one of these days. But anyhow, let me explain to you. So when we have energy about another person and we carry it with ourselves, it's within us. So yes, can other people pick up on that? Yes, because it's within you. And they're picking up on everything that's a totality view, whether they consciously realize it or not, if they're, unless they kind of block it out like I do, unless they should be going to tune in. So when I tune into you, it's not like I feel this person that's overly negative where I think, oh my gosh, I don't want to like help this person or I don't want to connect with this person. Not for me, that's not how it feels. How it feels is I feel this really heavy sadness that would benefit you to be free of, okay? So let's look at when that sadness originated, because as I said, I don't feel that it originated 10 years ago. I feel that what happened is, the thing that happened 10 years ago is what made it explode, okay? That was more like the explosion. All right, let me see. Okay, it's three again. Something happened. It has to do with a man. I don't feel it was a father figure. I do sense that there was some kind of like abuse that happened. And it gave you the idea that you were powerless. You felt powerless over the circumstance. Okay, so you carried that with you, not so much the lack of forgiveness at that point, but the feeling powerless. And the feeling powerless is what attracted the situation 10 years ago. Because what, yeah, it was a circumstance that was more emotionally traumatic to reflect back to you the fact that you really felt powerless. So what happens is these circumstances happen, and they're mirrored to us to help us see, oh, I still have that within me. I need to get rid of that, okay? So feeling powerless is what attracted the circumstance, but it served much sooner. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. A lot of times, okay, this is my sense. My sense is that there is this periphery of you that is aware of what I'm talking about, but it's not anything that you look at directly. I hope that makes sense. Okay. But not directly. Okay. So there are two things that need to happen. Okay, let's look at this. The first thing is really the forgiveness is about yourself. Okay? It's to forgive yourself because on some level you feel responsible. Now, interestingly enough, on some level you are responsible, but not the level that you believe you are. You're responsible on the level that you, on some higher plane level, create this opportunity to really be in your power more and learn how to be in your power more. Okay, so from that perspective, yes. But from the perspective of intentionally creating a circumstance that was harmful to you, no. Okay, you were not. You were simply putting out this energy and the other person responded to that. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Because blame is not really helpful. I really get that on some level you have blame for yourself and that is not helpful. And that's where the forgiveness needs to come in. Okay. But whatever happened when you were three also taught you blame. Maybe you, I'm not so sure that you got blamed by anyone else, but I think maybe this man blamed you. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Okay, so now let's look at this. Your negativity. It's 98.6%, so a little bit above average. This issue is 42%. Okay, so definitely you would be helped also with the thought shifting at pamragland.com/level 1, and I would say you're going to need to go probably level 2, level 3, maybe level 4, okay? But start with level 1. I hope that helps. When you learn to forgive yourself and not blame yourself, you won't feel so exposed around other people either. I hope that makes sense. I can feel you feeling really exposed. Because you know this thing is within you and you know that you want to be free of it, so it's almost like it's this big old scarlet letter sitting on you, but really it's you that sees that. And so when you are willing to erase the scarlet letter, other people won't see it either. It will just be gone. Okay. I hope that makes sense. Okay. Okay, I find myself also caretaking. At 3 with a man not lived out directly. She says exactly right. I know this. I can't imagine what would happen at 3. I see some person. I'm not kidding. This is, I'll tell you what more I can tell you about the 3. Is it something traumatic? It felt traumatic. Now, let me frame this. As a child, we look at things differently than we do as an adult. So sometimes circumstances that feel traumatic as a child are no longer traumatic as an adult. Like, for example, I remember going in the bowling alley and running up to some woman who had black pants on and grabbing her leg and thinking it was my mom, and it wasn't my mom, and that was traumatic to me, right? So as an adult, you'd be like, oh, what's the big deal? That's not the big deal. So I'm not necessarily saying it was like more of like an abuse situation, but I'm saying that it was something that was traumatic that happened with a man, and I see this man like on the periphery, so it just feels like not necessarily like a dad figure, maybe like a friend, like an uncle, you know, and it could be that he just like, he's imposing and empowering over you. It could be that he's just like screams at you. It feels something that was done that, or if another adult witnessed that, they'd be like, hey, that's not okay. So I want to be clear, it's not like it's some minor thing. It's something where another adult would agree that it was not okay, but it's not necessarily like, you know, assault or anything like that either. And really, so much it doesn't matter. It only matters that you understand that you carry this energy with you and that it's okay to be free of that. Something that could have affected me that caused such an explosion. I know. It's, okay, let me see if I can find anything more about that. He's touching you. Not inappropriately, he grabs you. He's grabbing you and it scares you. So it may be that he got angry and he grabbed you like your arm, like your, yeah, it feels like that. It's not like anything like assault, but it's something where this man lost his temper and he grabs you. Maybe you were having a tantrum, something like that. He grabs you and it scares you and it's traumatic for you. That's what I'm picking up on. Now, as an adult, we might go, oh, yeah, no big deal. But again, where we are as a child is not the same place as where we are as an adult. So I hope that makes sense. And this is why we get this negativity, because you would never, you know, as an adult, you'd be like, oh, whatever, you know, and kind of let things roll off your back. But as a child, you don't do it the same way. Okay, I need to move into if there's any divine info. Okay. Oh, yes, there is. Okay, so here's what wants to be said. We're in a time of great change, and there's a lot of you that are on this call and video that will listen to the recording who are chomping at the bit for change. And what is really important to recognize is that change starts with you. So a lot of times you want to say the company should do this, the government should do that, the organization should do this, the city should do that. But the truth is that we are the ones that need to make the change. It's truly what Gandhi said about being the change that you wish to see. It's important to understand because you have control over that. So when you understand that you have control over the individual change that you choose to go through, then you understand that you have control over your life. And when you understand that you have control over your life, you recognize that you can create it differently and that it doesn't have to be this way anymore. It's important that you understand that because it puts you in the driver's seat and allows you to be in a place of power instead of feeling disempowered. Okay, hey, that was the message. Okay. Okay. I'm going to do my healing with y'all real quick. So if you will close your eyes unless you're operating any machinery or driving. Okay. I just did something with you that if you're affected by it, you'll feel. And it's temporary. It's not permanent, but it's something to kind of protect you from the outside world and people that may try to kind of drag you down and take your energy and that sort of thing. Okay. Well, thank you for being on the call. We're getting all of our infrastructure in place so I could answer some of your questions also, like I said, in other ways on my blog and Facebook and stuff like that. So I hope this has been of help to you. I will let you know. I will get emails out about the last level one that I'll be doing that's live next week. So I hope some of you guys can participate in that. But mostly, thank you for being here. And your questions are why I do this, so it's fun for me. And I appreciate connecting with you, and I look forward to doing it again. All right, everybody, bye.
This has been Pam Raglan. I want to thank you for joining me on this innovative series of calls. I hope you've learned something new and valuable that you can take away and pass on to your friends and family. If you'd like to ask me about your own situation or just listen in to learn more about what gets in your way, you can go to my website at www.pamraglan.com. www.askpamraglan.com. That's www, and then the word ask, A-S-K, and then my name, Pam Ragland, which is P-A-M, and then R-A-G-L-A-N-D.com. If you'd like to pass it on to your friends and family members, if they have questions or situations that they need help with, or they might just benefit from listening in, feel free to do that as well. If you'd like more information on thought shifting, you can go directly to my Level 2 program website, which is at www.pamraglan.com/level2. That's pamraglan.com/level, L-E-V-E-L, and then the number 2. So please tell your loved ones, friends, and family members about the call. And thanks again for joining me, and have a wonderful day.